almost a joke, except it's not a joke. There's so much noise here. There's someone always pounding. I don't know what they're doing here. Building the Tower of Babel? It seems like they already have that. I don't know. It's got to be a trick, a ploy, a stratagem, and a diversion from our adversary, namely Satan, because it could drive me crazy if I let it. But I'm not letting it. I'm keeping it together here. Trying to anyway. But you know, it just, I guess once you expect it and you realize what it is, you just dare it to derail you. You dare it. So I dare these things to derail me. And they keep trying, believe me. This is Martin Zender. You are at the Revelation series. And we ended last week with the compliment. That is, the book of Revelation fulfills things that God began in Genesis. God is always completing things, but he takes a doggone long time. So we see these two books of the Bible, both inspired, written hundreds of years apart, that God brings everything to a satisfying conclusion. That is God. He will always do that, but he takes his time. I mean, does he ever take his time? And you think God goes as the crow flies? No, he goes the opposite. If you just look at a map of Israel's wandering through the wilderness, it looks like somebody, looks like a three-year-old took a crayon and just went, it's all over the place. But it's inspired deviation. We are all inspired deviants, is how I will put it today for you, live on the Revelation series. Now, Dr. Bullinger popularized, if he did not invent, somebody saw, God gave the wisdom. Like, God gave Newton the wisdom to understand this force that makes stuff fall down. He gave the Wright brothers understand the Bernoulli principle. He gave Bernoulli the powers to understand the principle of why airplanes fly. So all these secrets in the universe were unlocked to Tesla, to the Wright brothers, to Louis Pasteur, all these people. So now we have another secret unlocked, that revelation answers our longings, that we our lacks that we see in Genesis. And I left off from an inspired list. Now, in the meantime, I found another list. I know my light just changed there because I'm switching computer screens. My lighting is always variant, and that is by inspiration. I don't do that. That's not an accident. I purposely vary it. Ha ha. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, so that you will have a variety. Now, I'm going to go through these again, and I found an expanded list over the weekend, so I'm going to give that to you too. But let's pick up where we left off, and then I'm going to go to this expanded list. We're looking at inspired correlation between Genesis and Revelation, and Revelation answers Genesis. I think I left off with the cherubim, who were first mentioned in connection with humanity in Genesis 3:24, to guard the tree of life. And we see the cherubim again, finally mentioned in connection with humanity. They're at the throne of God in the unveiling, chapter 4, verse 6. Now, this is huge, I think. Man, humanity is driven from the garden, from paradise. And that was a very sad occasion. And we thought we had blown it then. Our man, Adam, and our woman, Eve, they both blew it. And because of them, some of you now live in New Jersey, or God forbid, Minnesota. Hello, Russ Brown. I love you, brother. And some of you are living in Tasmania, for the love of God. I mentioned the saints scattered abroad, and I forgot to mention South Africa. Some of you are living in South Africa. Some of you are on the dark continent. Oh, that is South Africa. Okay, thank you. All this because we were driven as a race from Eden. But the sequel is that humanity is going to be restored to paradise. Chapter 22 of the unveiling, paradise regained. Only it's bigger and it's better because sin and death have been abolished. Tree of life was guarded. You can't get back to it. Once you screwed up, you couldn't get back to it. Genesis 3:24, but now we have it right to the tree of life given to humanity in the unveiling 22:14. What a great difference that is. Sorrow and suffering entered into the human equation, and we've been messed up ever since and unhappy ever since. Most of us have been unhappy. If you're happy, congratulations. Don't know how you quite manage that, but there's no more sorrow on the new earth The new earth is the answer to the earth lost, the paradise lost in Genesis. And this is what God is building to. He's building to the new earth on Eon 5. We really give this short shrift, and I'm tired of it for one. And I'm sorry if you don't want me to get off on a sidetrack here, but I adore the new earth, even though I'm not going to be on it. I'm going to be in the celestials, and so are you. But the new earth is going to follow the destruction of this present earth. And it is a long eon. That is going to be a long eon. We know that the kingdom eon is 1,000 years. It's quite possible that the fifth eon, which follows eon 4, the kingdom eon, the fifth eon could possibly be 10,000 years. It's what God is working toward. It's still an intermediate step. It's not the ultimate goal. But God is going to bring the human race onto a new earth. And people will be procreating. We mentioned you're not going to be procreating in heaven, because there's neither male nor female in the body of Christ. Well, I'm sorry you think that's going to be boring, but it's not. If men and women were a perfect state, if it was meant to stay this way, then it would be that way in the body of Christ. No, it's mainly a trial. Yes, men and women, it's a trial. For one thing, you have to figure out which bathroom is yours. And that's difficult here in Brazil, because they have different names for men and women. Homem and feminino, or something like that. I have to rely on the pictures. One guy's got pants, and the chick's got a skirt. Other than that, I'd be in the women's restroom, okay? But this is going to be abolished. We have no worries in the snatching away that all the sexes are going to be... No, that's not boring. It's perfection. Because listen, I've said this before. This is a great opportunity to say it again. If you are married, you will find that there are always, as blissful as the marriage situation is, there are times where, you know, you just don't understand each other. In fact, okay, I'll just spill the beans right now. Most of the time, you don't understand each other. You're a man, she's a woman. What kind of joke is this? God putting two totally disparate people together who think completely differently. They ought to be on separate planets. In fact, John Gray wrote a book, Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars. And truly, it seems as though these genders are from different planets. And now we take these completely different beings who think differently, who have different longings, different desires, different goals, different dreams, and he says, now live happily ever after together. And it's just like, what? This must be a divine joke. Well, it's not. It's a time of trial. It's a time of... This particular eon is a time of suffering. That's why there are two genders. It's a time of suffering, okay? Interspersed with brief moments of bliss. But other than that, the fact that, again, it's abolished. Now, Jesus also said that in the coming eon, this is for the circumcision, but if it's for them, it's certainly for us. They are not given in marriage. So this also tells you that the institution of marriage, as wonderful as it is a temporary expedient. And it's part of our boot camp. It's part of our training to learn to love, to trust, to have faith, and all these things. Patience, yeah, not to mention that. So all these things now, while they are part of the Eden experience, and part of the Eon 3 experience, they are not part of our future experience. And this is another thing that the Book of the Unveiling does away with. In fact, this is the startling thing. I want you to get this. We are transferred in spirit to the fifth Eon. We now have in spirit all the blessings that the fifth Eon is going to bring to humanity. Now, I'm going even past the kingdom eon. I'm going past the millennium for Israel, because in the millennium, not even Israel comes into even the truth of justification yet, because they're still administering the law. So we in spirit are now a new creation. I'm writing about this in my newsletter series, ZWTF. I'm on a series called The Era is Limited. If you haven't heard of that, what? Go to my website, martinzenner.com, go to ZWTF Archives, and read about the new creation. So in the Book of the Unveiling, we're seeing in the future things that are going to be on the new earth. No death, no more suffering, no more misery. And we're seeing things that are going to be in the body of Christ. No genders, no national distinctions, and no slave, no free. And we're anticipating them now in spirit. It sounds very complicated. But it's all a matter of your disposition. It's all a matter of your thinking. That's why Paul, above all other writers, uses the phrase, come to a realization. So all these things that we think are the epitome of accomplishment in this world, such as you own a business or you're married with children, you have a wonderful family, you can stand on your parapet and look over your kingdom like Nebuchadnezzar did, it's all going away. And any earthly advantage, whether you store up your retirement fund, by the way, if you ever don't work for retirement, that's the biggest mistake you can make. Do not work for retirement. Spend all your money on things like, you know, wine and cigars and good meals if you can do it, because you're going to need what you can get to peanut M&Ms, take a vacation with the family. Do not invest in things. Invest in experiences so that you can get by in this world. But because everything you try to accumulate in this world is going to go away. It's not going to follow you. 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about this. I always get back to this topic because it's one of my favorites. And because I'm constantly fighting, you know, this pull of the earth and looking toward the next world and the unveiling. I'm on this book. The reason I'm talking about this is because I love future things. Even the fourth eon, I'll take it. All right, I'll take it. It's fun to think about all the buildings here in Brazil falling down. That's fun to me. And it's fun to think that the internet is going to be destroyed and that mass transport is going to be gone. Cars are going to be abolished and we're going to get back to a simple lifestyle. Before that bastard Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, some say Tesla did it. Of course, we know Edison ripped off Tesla. People went to bed when it got dark and they got up when the sun rose. These are the natural rhythms of the body and of the earth. These are beautiful things. They're going to be restored on the new earth in the unveiling. And they were taken away from us. At the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and they headed to the east. And whenever you see west to east movement in the scripture, you're seeing spiritual regression. Whenever people are spoken of as moving east to west, you're seeing spiritual progression. I did say regression, right? Yeah, we're comparing regression to progression. And in the tabernacle system, they went from east to west, which is always a good thing, spiritual progression. However, since Eden, we have been in a state of spiritual regression. And this is being felt by all of us. And I'll have you know that God is going to physically make up for that on the new earth. And we're going to read about that in the unveiling when we get to chapter 20, 21, 22. However, for us, he is anticipating the physical rejuvenation, the physical recreation, I should say, of these things. He's anticipating it in spirit. And now in spirit, we can, by thinking, as a man thinks, so is he, by thinking, by being renewed in the spirit of our mind, Romans 12, 3, we can anticipate. This isn't New Age teaching, please. This is spiritual teaching. Romans 12, 3. Be renewed by the, be some, transformed. Yeah, be, that's how it is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we are anticipating in our minds, in spirit, what is actually going to happen physically on the new earth. I am comparing Genesis to the unveiling, partly to combat the insane idea that Revelation is a spurious addition to the canon, to the Holy Scriptures, as if somebody had this last-minute idea, let's throw this book in. No, it is inspired. We see this by the internal structure, by the external structure, and we certainly see it in the comparison of the unveiling of Jesus Christ to the book of Genesis. I planned on getting through this today. I didn't do it because I got off on a sidetrack. I hope it was a good sidetrack for you. I hope it helps you. And so tomorrow we're going to continue comparing Genesis to Revelation. And then by God, you'll see, I'm going to get back to the seven sealed scroll. This has been Martin Zender on the Revelation series. I hope to see you back here tomorrow with me. God bless you.